भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरों चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरहे। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text Number 18. So we'll read translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishikesh, the controller of all my senses and origin of everything. As the Supreme Master of all bodily, mental, and intellectual activities, He is the only enjoyer of their results. The five sense objects and 11 senses, including the mind, are His partial manifestations. He supplies all the necessities of life, which are His energies, and thus non-different from Him. And He is cause of everyone's bodily and mental prowess, which is also non-different from Him. Indeed, He is the husband and provider of necessities for all living entities. The purpose of all Vedas is to worship Him. Therefore, let us all offer Him our respectful obeisances. May He always be favorable towards us in this life and the next. Purport. This verse, the word Maya is further explained in regard to how the Lord expands His mercy in different ways. Parasya Saktir Vidadaya Suyate. The energies of the Supreme Lord are understood in different ways. In this verse, He is described as original source of everything, even our body, senses, mind, activities, and prowess, bodily strength, mental strength, and determination for securing the necessities of life. Indeed, the Lord's energies can be perceived in everything. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.8, Rasoham Apyukaunteya, the test of water is also Krishna. Krishna is the active principle of everything we need for our maintenance. This verse, offering obeisances unto the Lord, was composed by Rama, the goddess of fortune, and is full of spiritual power. Under the guidance of spiritual master, everyone should chant this mantra and thus becomes complete and perfect devotee of the Lord. One may chant this mantra for complete liberation from material bondage, and after liberation, one may continue to chant it while worshipping the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha Loka. All the mantras, of course, are meant for this life and the next life, as Krishna himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayantoma Yatantasya Dhridavata. Always chanting my glories and enduring with great determination and bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. A devotee who both in this life and the next chants Mahamantra or any other mantra is called Nikta Yukto Pasak. It's offered by the residents of Jambudipa. They're offering prayers unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this particular verse, their glorifying Lord is the source of everything, and how we should respectfully offer obeisances, and we should serve the Lord in this life as well as in the next life. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely further elaborates the same theme in the purport by quoting the verses from Bhagavad Gita, that how we can perceive the existence of Lord in this material creation and everything that wonderful we see. And then he further glorifies the potency of a mantra and then how this mantra has to be always chanted. In the sense like we glorify the Supreme Lord and that Supreme Lord's name has to be remembered always. And it's not just that one has to just remember in this life, but he will continue to do so in his next life, whether it's, even if he gets a liberated body, it's not that his existence will be extinguished or it will be finished. Whether a devotee, whether he stays in this material world, he will always keep chanting and serving the Lord. And if he gets chance to go back to the spiritual world, his activities will always remain the same. He will still glorify the Supreme Lord and continue to serve him. Now let us say that in this Kali Yuga, the process that is recommended for us is chanting the holy name. And we have seen like in the Satya Yuga, the cycle starts. The atmosphere is such that there are very less sinful activities in Satya Yuga. And as the Yuga goes on progressing, the sinful activities keep on increasing. And Kali Yuga is just considered like as winter season of Yuga seasons, because winter is like sometimes when it becomes very cold, it's like very miserable. So of all Yugas, Kali Yuga, because it's full of faults, the existence in Kali Yuga is miserable. As a severe cold, those who have experienced, they can see that it is so miserable to stay in that condition. But the process that is recommended in this Kali Yuga is also very simple, because the capacity of the people is much less compared with other yugas. So that is why the process that is given by the Supreme Lord in this age is also very simple, which anyone can follow. If you see the situation in Kali Yuga, the people, they have so many concocted ideas of religion. But those who study carefully, practically all the religion, they lay the stress that one has to glorify the Supreme Lord. Whether one takes a Srimad Bhagavatam, where it's clearly mentioned the name, form, and how the Lord has to be glorified, or even if somebody takes a Bible, there also he can understand that how the God is described as a Father, and he is Almighty, he is the Supreme. Even in Quran also, he is described as, he's the only person whom one can glorify. So that concept is there, that one has to glorify the Lord. And that's why the Lord has different names. We also have a name, but as far as our name is concerned, it is just a physical identification of some form, that we may have one name. But that our name doesn't necessarily mean that we also have that qualities. Whereas the Supreme Lord has got the names as per his qualities or as per his pastimes. If you say the Supreme Lord is very merciful towards his devotees, his Bhakta Vatsal, then he will always behave like that. You will always see this. His name is given according to the quality that he has or the pastimes that he has. Like the Lord lifted the Govardhan hill, that's why he is glorified as a Giridhari. Or he has pastimes with the gopis, that's why it's called Gopijan Vallabh, or it's called Gopinath. Or he is a friend of Arjun, so it's called Parthasarthi. So Lord has got different name as for his pastimes. It's considered as Devaki Nandan or Yashodanandan. Whereas our name is just like some physical identity. Because the Supreme Lord is absolute and therefore his name is also absolute. So that different one has to understand that the name, ordinary name that we attach to any living entity, it's just identity of some person. Whereas the Supreme Lord, because he is absolute, his name also becomes absolute. And when person takes the name of the Supreme Lord, naturally, immediately he will remember his qualities, he will remember his pastimes. So the name of the Supreme Lord will always bring the remembrance of the Supreme Lord. And that's why one is able to continuously chant the name of the Lord. Any other name that you can take, if you keep chanting it for a certain time, you get bored. But while a person is able to chant the name of Supreme Lord for so long, is because of the absolute nature of the Lord. The Lord can invest all his potencies in his name. And that's why when one person chants a mantra, usually mantra contains the either appeal to the Supreme Lord or it discusses about the glories of the Lord. And when a person sincerely practices chanting any bona fide name of the Supreme Lord, he can immediately experience the divine presence of the Supreme Lord in that. And that is why we see then a pure devotee, when he chants the name of the Lord sincerely, the Supreme Lord is present on his tongue. Because the attitude in which he is calling, he is not calling the name so that he can get some material benefits. It's not that he is offering prayers so that he can get some food or he can get any other material benefits. What is this Hare Krishna Mahamantra that we chant every day? That Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this chanting of holy name is sincerely asking to the Supreme Lord to engage ourselves in his service. So this is a selfless prayer. This prayer is not motivated with any intention to get anything in return. When we chant this prayer, we are asking the Supreme Lord to engage us in his service without any motivation. And that's why it makes the whole difference. Because there are so many people who came with so many processes of purification. But the Srimad Bhagavatam makes it very clear. In the sixth canto, it is very clearly mentioned that by following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing different kinds of atonement, a sinful person may get some purification. But by chanting the holy name once, he can at once get purified. Because although the ritualistic ceremonies may free oneself from the sinful reaction, it does not awaken the devotional service that is dormant in one's heart. The chanting of the holy name, because it awakens the devotional service, then immediately, as soon as a person takes the name of the Lord, he will remember the Lord's fame, he will remember Lord's qualities, he remembers his pastimes, he remembers his paraphernalia. And because of that, the chanting the holy name of the Lord, that process can bring us immediate purification. Whereas other process of purification, maybe that's a gyan or maybe that's a karmakan, it doesn't bring the purification because the seed for committing the sin is not irrigated by that method. Whereas the devotional service is such a potent that it can eradicate the living entity's propensity to commit sin. And that's why it is the most powerful method of purification. Because what the karma is, or what a person in the material world does, is the whatever activity he does is for his own benefit. That is the topmost thing in his mind, that whatever activity is his performance, what benefit he is going to get it. And because he has just one sole motive of his own sense gratification, he doesn't hesitate to commit sinful activities. So any person who doesn't have proper understanding of the scripture will naturally have a sinful life. And that's why there is always a control. We have seen in the Srila Prabhupada gives the example, a simple example of day-to-day life. He says that why government gives license? If you want to even open a restaurant, you have to take a license from the government. Because government knows that people are going to do wrong activities. They will open the restaurant, and just to get the profit, they will do so many things, and they will not care for the general population. That's why there is a whole procedure laid down. You have to take the license, and then in that license, you agree that you will follow such and such conditions. So similarly, the scriptures also give us understanding. He also says that one has to follow this rules, that rules, because ultimately, what is the point that scripture wants to give this rules and regulations? So that the living entity understands that he is not this body, but the spirit soul. So all the rules and regulations are aimed at one thing, so that the living entity will have that realization that he is not this body, but the spirit soul. And then he can go on furthering doing the things. Because if person doesn't come to this understanding that unless he had some dharma in his life is nothing but life of an animal. That's why the scripture says, the dharma na hina pashubi saman. That means if there is no religion in your life, if there is no life is not molded as per the scriptural rules and regulations, then that life is just considered as a simply a animalistic life. And that's why there are different directions are given to purify one's existence. Why do people go in Kumbh Mela in different holy places? Because there are so many directions that are given in the scriptures that if you go in this particular time to the holy place, if you stay there for 3 days, and at this particular moment, if you take bath in the holy river, you may get promotion in the heavenly planets. And that's why we find the crows of people, in a big number, they will go religiously at that time to that particular place, even though it's a winter season. Still they will take cold water bath. Why? Because they have some understanding. If we do this, we will get future life will be better. But actually what scripture says is this kinds of purification will have some effect. That person may get elevated to the heavenly planets. But then next what? Again, once his quota is finished, he will be pushed down to the lower planets. And again, he has to go for different kinds of purificatory processes to keep himself purifying. Like Krishna, it is there where it is stated that if person commits sinful activities, everybody will commit sinful activities. So that he's asked that you go to the church, the priest is there, you go and confess him that I have committed such and such sinful activities. But the real purpose of doing that is so that in future you don't commit it. Srila Prabhupada says that if you go to the church, confess it, again go back and do the same activities, then what benefit that person gets by such kind of purification, such kinds of following the rules. So that's why the chanting of the holy name, it's considered as topmost because it can directly take us in touch with the Supreme Lord. Because the condition of living entities is just like the example is given that of a person who is a patient. But a rascal patient, what will do? He will go to the physician, he will ask for the medicine, and physician will tell him, you take this medicine, you have to follow these rules and regulations, and then the medicine will act. But this patient, what will do? He will take some medicine for some time, will not follow any rules and regulation, and again he will become sick. Again he will go to the same doctor, and same doctor will give medicine. He will give the methods of rules that he has to observe, he will not follow it, and again he will fall sick. And that's the same tendency is there of a living entity, that there are different kinds of purificatory methods are there that he undertakes, but he doesn't realize that ultimately he has to get rid of his sinful propensity. And then sinful propensity can be eradicated by when a soul calls to the Supreme Lord. When a son calls sincerely to the Supreme Lord, then the Supreme Lord takes care of his son. And then the pure calling will be there. And since the name of the Lord is absolute, it has got all his potencies. So Srila Prabhupada used to say that even if somebody criticizes Hare Krishna, he gets benefit. Because while criticizing Hare Krishna, he is taking the word Hare Krishna. And that will definitely have at least some purification. And that's why we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the case of Ajamil, he just chanted the name of Lord, though he was not chanting with a pure calling. But since he chanted at the right time the name of the Supreme Lord, the whole thing was stopped. Just because he had chanted the name of Lord, he got an opportunity to purify his existence. So such is the potency of the Supreme Lord, where the person can immediately be purified. And that's why the Mayavadis are considered as most unfortunate, because they consider the form, the pastimes, and the qualities of the Supreme Lord as illusory. And because they don't have that conception that the Supreme Lord has got form, when we take his name, his names, he has that actually that kind of qualities. When you take his name, he has that different pastimes. And that is why they are not able to understand what Lord Krishna himself states in Bhagavad Gita, that when person understands the true nature of my appearance and activities, that they are transcendental. If anyone has pure understanding that why Krishna appears and what is the nature of his transcendental activities, he doesn't have to take birth again in this material world. But just by understanding this knowledge that why Lord appears, what activity he does, and simply by remembering this, he can purify his existence and go up. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that one has to learn this chanting of mantra under the guidance of a spiritual master. And that is why every day we chant in the morning the prayers, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasadu. That means one can attain the mercy of the Supreme Lord through Guru. And Srila Prabhupada says that how it happens is, he gives the example that in a company, there may be a small clerk working at the fourth rank, but he works very nicely. And then in a company, always there are HODs, head of departments will be there. And when head of department sees that this person is very sincere, honest, then he gives report to his superior, and then immediately he will get promotion. He will get raise in his salary, and his services will be acknowledged. So similarly, when we perform devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and when he recommends to the Supreme Lord our case, then immediately the Supreme Lord takes note of our activities. A person may consider that how it is possible that the Supreme Lord, he is so supreme, he has got so many potencies, and he has beyond our mundane vision, how it is possible that he can take note of our activities. The Lord gives this system that if you render service unto my pure devotee, immediately Lord will take note of one's activities. So what Srila Prabhupada further states in that one has to understand in this way that all these scriptures, rules and regulations are mentioned. At the same time, the glorification of chanting the holy name is mentioned. But the ultimate purpose that one has to elevate himself to become a devotee. Because there are so many people who always say that I believe that one person has to just do good activities. In my life, I don't commit any sin. I just believe that person should do some pious activities or good thing, and that itself is sufficient. But Prabhupada makes it very clear that this is not sufficient, that one has to be a devotee of the Lord, because devotee of the Lord will always follow the instructions of the Lord. And that is what is expected from a human being, that one has to become a devotee, and devotee means he has to follow the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Just becoming a good person is not sufficient in this world. Prabhupada explains that. Let us take the activities of Arjuna. A person may say that I am a good person, and you see the activities of Arjuna. He killed his own grandfather, he killed his teacher, he killed his beloved brothers. So he was killing his family members. And still Krishna was glorifying that you are bhaktosime sakacheti. That means you are my devotee because you are non-envious. That's why I am so pleased with you, and that's why I am giving you all this transcendental knowledge. So if you see from mundane point of view, the activities of Arjuna doesn't appear or doesn't make it sense that he's acting as a good. The person who is a moralist or has some other understanding, he may do feel that one has to do the pious activities. And that's why there is so much of confusion in the people. They're not able to relate the activities of the devotees. That's why they get confused with other characters in Mahabharata. They think that, no, this Karna, he has acted piously, so he is better than Arjun. But a devotee and the Supreme Lord can understand that ultimately a person who surrenders to the will of the Supreme Lord, he is actually a devotee, and that's the destination of all the human beings. That's the stage one has to attain, and then only one can make progress in this life. Just becoming good by following other methods of purification will not be sufficient. That's why one has to understand what are the glories of this holy name. And when one understands the glories of the holy name, then he can chant with pure attitude. That's why one simple example is given, that once there was a sweeper who used to sweep in the king's palace. And he was a very honest person, and that's why king also was very happy with him. And every day he would do nicely his job. And then when he was talking with his friends, that they were discussing about the gold. But this person was so poor, he was not knowing what the gold is, though he was working in a palace of the king. So that person said, you don't know what is the gold? You ask the king, king will tell you what the gold is. So he goes to the king and he asks, I want to know what the gold is. So the king says to his treasurer, he says, take this key, go with this poor man and show him what the gold is, so we'll understand what the gold. So this poor fellow goes with along with the treasurer. He walks it, he climbs up the stairs. That fellow opens his treasury and shows inside all the gold ornaments. So when he sees and he says, oh, this is the gold. And then when he's coming back, then he realizes that the door of that treasure house is also made of gold. The steps in which he climbed, that's also made of gold. And in the palace that he is sweeping, the pillars are also made of the gold. So next day when he was sweeping the palace, he was doing his job in a different way. Now he realized, oh, this pillar is made of gold. Even this door is made of gold. So his consciousness was different. So a person who chants the holy name of the Lord, he knows that this name of the Supreme Lord is not the ordinary name. And that's why the moment he chants the supreme name of the Lord, he immediately is able to see his form, he's able to recall his qualities, he's able to recall his paraphernalia, he's able to recall his pastimes. And that's why this chanting of the holy name can immediately just take us to the higher stage. And then when we are chanting about the holy name, we always have to consider the pastimes of Haridas Thakur, because the chanting of the holy name, he is a Namacharya, and his example is always the foremost. So when Haridas Thakur appears in Bodhna district, and then after some time he goes to Fuliagram, because Haridas Thakur, Advaitacharya, they appear in this material world before even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. And that's the time this social situation was such that the most of the people were simply engaged in ritualistic ceremonies or just the discussing the different kinds of scriptures. But there were very few people who were actually devotees of the Lord. So all these devotees would come together and perform Sankirtan, and they were mocked and ridiculed by non-devotees and atheistic people. So looking at all their activities, the devotees would become very sad. They would think that how this sinful people can be delivered. And Haridas Thakur would fearlessly roam around the banks of Ganga and loudly chant the holy name. And since he was chanting purely, he could exhibit all the ecstatic symptoms in his bodies. And the people would get attracted to him. Anyone who is a pure can immediately influence others. The more person is pure, even if a person is sinful, if he comes in his association, he will have effect. That's why we say, like, even Sukhdev Goswami, it is described that he was staying at forest in one place. He left that place and went some other place. And even the trees felt a separation, because he was so pure that he could even influence the trees. And tree also felt separation when Sukhdev Goswami left from that place. So the person who is a devotee, who is a pure, because he carries the Supreme Lord in his heart, he has tremendous influence wherever he goes. And that's why wherever he visits, that place is also becomes place of pilgrimage. So like that, Haridas Thakur could influence so many people by his pure chanting. And then naturally the Qazi becomes very angry, seeing that this person has taken birth in a Muslim family, and then he is preaching the name of Hindu, and he is influencing so many people to take the name of Krishna. So naturally he complains to the king, and then king calls for Haridas Thakur. So when that king calls, the king was very cruel, and he would torture the people like any other thing. But when Haridas Thakur goes to see the king, he was totally fearless. He was chanting loudly, and loudly chanting, he was going to see the king. And as he goes in the house of prison house, the prisoners, when they understood that Haridas Thakur is coming, they were happy, thinking that soon their prison life will end. Because always the people have conception that sadhu means that he can do some miracles, and if you please a sadhu, he will do something for our benefit. So all these prisoners were thinking that we are fortunate that Haridas Thakur is coming, and if we will pray to him, and he will make our miseries to an end. But Haridas Thakur, when he sees that their condition, he gives them a benediction where he says that you stay as you are. So when the prisoners hear this benediction, they become dissatisfied in their heart, thinking that that means we will have to stay forever here. And when they see, Haridas Thakur sees that they haven't really understood the meaning of my words, then he gives an explanation. He says that when a living entity is able to remember the Supreme Lord, that is the highest stage of one's life. That's the life when he is happy. He is saying, because now you are in this pitiable condition, and that's why you are remembering the name of Supreme Lord. And when any person who remembers the Supreme Lord, what fear he has to do? Because a person may be a very rich, he may have all opulence, he may have a lot of freedom to do, but if he doesn't remember the name of Supreme Lord, what is the use of his life? Because next life he'll be in the hell. Whereas a person, even if he is in a miserable condition, like staying in prison house, still if he remembers the name of Supreme Lord, his future life is safe. Because the tendency of a living entity is that they forget the grace of Lord when they are in happy condition. That's why one example was given, that once one rich person would donate a lot of things. He would stand in the first floor of his palace and throw a lot of essential items from that. And then people would come, gather all those items and run away. So this rich person was explaining to his friend that I give so much charity, but these people don't even look up to see who is giving this charity. So his friend says, okay, then what you do is next day you just throw some stones on them. So when he throws the stones on them, immediately all these people become angry, and then they challenge him saying that, don't you know what you are doing it? So similarly, the living entity, when Lord puts us in a comfortable condition, we forget his grace. And when difficulties come, then we try to blame to the Supreme Lord, that why you are keeping me in such a condition. That's why people ask that why there are so many natural calamities, why so many innocent people gets destroyed in earthquakes or in tsunami or in so many other ways. What is the purpose? Why Lord is doing such things to a living, to the people? But we fail to understand the grace of Lord when we are in the peaceful condition. So that's why here, as far as Kali Yuga is concerned, the process is very simple. That if we simply chant the holy name of the Lord, the soul which has got all these material coverings of lust, anger and greed can be easily be purified. Srila Prabhupada once gave the example that if a person has got itches all over his body, so when we have an itch, we apply ointment. But if a person has got itches all over the body, what will do? We'll have to just dip that fellow in the ointment. Then only his disease can be eradicated. But the thing is, if you chant the holy name of the Lord, the Krishna is so kind that in Kali Yuga, everything is, there is a fault. Whatever we do, there will be faults. And people will be doing so many sinful activities. So he gives a process very simple. Just dip your consciousness in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. If you just chant this holy name, then whatever this material coverings are there, it will be easily eradicated. And then the soul realizes his natural position, that he has to serve the Supreme Lord. That's why the chanting can just help us to remove all these coverings that are there on the soul. And that's why one has to see that how he has to chant this holy name of the Lord. That's why we see that we create a proper surrounding so that we are able to concentrate on the holy name. That's why a person who wants to sincerely chant the holy name, he will select a place where there will be less distractions, where he will be able to concentrate on the holy name properly. And second thing is, One has to practice chanting holy name in this Kali Yuga as a strict regulation. It's not that one just waits for inspiration, thinking that when I feel nice, that's the time I will start chanting. But for a person in the Kali Yuga, our tendency to commit sinful activity is so intense. See, that's why a spiritual master gives us that one should chant minimum 16 rounds every day. Why this regulation is given? Because otherwise the mind will believe us, giving so many reasons that we can postpone this activity to some other time and we can do other things. And just that we can do chanting nicely, there has to be a regulation. And that's why we see in the Haridas Thakur, he took the vow that he would chant 3 lakhs name of Lord every day. Though the Supreme Lord would be present personally in front of him, but still he would religiously follow this law strictly. So why one has to follow this? We can see the example of Goswami's, that Raghunath Das Goswami. He was such a rich person, but still he gave up everything and he took the renunciation, and he would offer every day so many obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Because living entity has to follow the rules and regulation. If we don't follow strictly the rules and regulation, the tendency is that naturally will fall from our position. And that's why we are seeing even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself with the Supreme Lord, but still he appears in this material world. He adopts the renounced order. And as a sannyasi also, he was strictly following the rules and regulations. He would sleep on floor. He would not accept even the nice mattresses that is offered to him by his devotees. And then women also would have to offer him obeisances from a distance. They couldn't come close to him. So even though he's a Supreme Lord, he strictly follows all these rules and regulations. So we can also understand that in this Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name is recommended process. And sincere chanting the holy name can elevate us to our proper natural condition of serving the Supreme Lord. And that's why one has to make a priority, and one can adopt different means by which he is able to chant, focus his whole attention on the holy name. That's why many times our devotees, they keep track of how they are chanting. They keep some progress map in front of them so that they monitor their chanting. And that's how one always makes it a priority that one is able to chant nicely. That's one of the arrangements that we made here in the temple, where the devotees do sit in the circles. What is the purpose behind it? So that we are able to help each other in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Because many times we feel that I am nicely chanting the holy name, whereas the person sitting next to you knows that you are sleeping. And then many times it happens that a person wakes you up and we get irritated because we are thinking that we are nicely chanting the name. But actual reality is that you are not chanting and the mind was somewhere else. So in order to help each other so that we can chant nicely, now we ourselves has to adopt so many ways and means by which we can purely chant the holy name. Where in the purport it's mentioned that one should chant some mantras in this life as well as in the next. Because person who is a pure devotee of the Lord, he will chant, serve the Supreme Lord. And if Krishna takes him back to the Vaikuntha Loka or to the spiritual world, then there also he will be always glorifying and serving the Lord. So one has to see that in this Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name can take us directly to the highest level. And one, there's no need for us to get bewildered by the flowery words of different purificatory process that are mentioned in the scriptures. Thank you very much. So is there any questions or comments? గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్భాగవతంకి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్కి